Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's readings in this fourth week of Advent speak of Our Lady. We have the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." That's Isaiah 7:14. The psalmist alludes to Mary in the responsorial psalm when he says that only those whose hands are sinless and whose heart is pure will ascend the mountain of the Lord. That's Psalm 24, verse 4. And the gospel is the Annunciation to her found in Luke chapter 1. The angel greets Our Lady, saying, "Hail, full of grace," Luke 1:28, and we'll look at that greeting for today's reflection. In the original Greek text, "Hail, full of grace," is kaire ke karitomene. Hail is a greeting. It's actually a verb. It means rejoice. Full of grace is a verb as well. The root word for kaire, which is hail, is Cairo. It's pronounced like the capital city in Egypt. The root word for ke karitomene is karito. Karito is a variation of Cairo. The reason we mention that is, one, because it's a play on words. So, Cairo karito, rejoice, full of grace. Two, because there's another word that we get from that root word Cairo, and it's the word eucharisteo. In English, how do we pronounce that? The Eucharist. Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, it means to give thanks. So the Holy Eucharist literally is the Holy Thanksgiving. Rejoice, the angel says to Mary. Why should she rejoice? Because the Lord is with you. Luke 1:28. This is actually an echo that we find from the Old Testament prophet Zephaniah. In Zephaniah 3:14, we read this, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." Why? Well, the next verse tells us why. It says, "Because the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst." Zephaniah 3, verse 15. So rejoice, why? Because the Lord is with you. Same thing that the angel says to Our Lady. In Latin, the greeting to Mary is Ave Gratia Plena. Ave in Latin is the name Eve spelled backwards. Eve in Latin is Eva. So Mary, the new Eve, is the one who reverses the curse of the first Eve and turns her curse into a blessing. That's exactly what St. Augustine said. He said, "The curse of Eve is changed into the blessing of Mary." The actual words of Gabriel to Our Lady were probably in Hebrew, Shalom Lach, which has been understood as the greeting, which means peace to you. Essentially the greeting that Archbishop Sheen would use when he greeted his audiences back in the day, peace to you. The angel doesn't address Mary by name. He addresses her by title, full of grace. Saint Stephen in the book of Acts is also said to be full of grace. We see that in Acts 6, verse 8. But the Greek there is actually different. The Greek is pleres karitos, not ke karitomene. Ke karitomene is a past perfect tense verb. It means that God had already graced Mary before the angel ever came to visit her, that she was full of grace even before the Annunciation. So ke karitomene talks about an action that was completed in the past with effects that continue in the present. So in view of the mission that she was to receive to be Mother of God and co-redeemer, Mary had already been transformed by grace, and our identity is defined by that transformation. So the phrase full of grace actually becomes her title, replacing her name in the angel's greeting. It's actually quite beautiful when you think about that. Our identity too is or should be defined by our own transformation. When we were baptized, we were transformed. We received a new identity. We became adopted children of God. We received a new nature, as St. Paul says in Colossians 3:10. So when we think of who we are, that should be our primary identity. I am a beloved child of God. So it's better to let God define you than others define you. Let God define you. You'll begin to see life from a different and from a more beautiful perspective. Mary allowed God to define her, and we need to do the same as well. The first systematic commentator on the scripture, the priest Origen, in the first half of the third century, wrote this. He said, "Since the angel greeted Mary with new expressions, which I've never found in scripture, it's necessary to say something on this regard. I don't remember, in fact, having read in any other place in the sacred scripture these words, 'Rejoice, O full of grace.' Neither are these expressions ever addressed to a man. Only to Mary was this special greeting reserved." And later on, St. Jerome, the priest, commentated on that. He commented, saying, "It is well said that she was full of grace, because on others grace is given partially, but the fullness of grace in complete treasure was infused into Mary." And he said elsewhere, "The entire fullness of grace which is in Christ came unto Mary, though in a different way," said St. Jerome. The Jesuit theologian Francisco Suarez said that the grace possessed by Our Lady in the first instant of her conception was greater than the grace which the highest angel possesses. And because of her perfect correspondence to God's grace and her faithful cooperation from her conception till the hour of her death, Mary acquired such degrees of graces as to exceed that of all the angels and saints put together. So God loves her more than the entire church, saints and angels put together. That means that she should also be number one in our hearts as well. First in our hearts, first after Jesus, or we could say first with Jesus, depending on your perspective. Pope Pius IX, commenting on the angel's greeting in his apostolic constitution, in Affabilis Deus, he said this, quote, "The fathers and doctors of the church taught that this singular, solemn, and unheard of greeting showed that all the divine graces reposed in the Mother of God, and that she was adorned with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit," says Pius IX, Third Order Franciscan. So Our Lady is full of grace. That's the good news. At the same time, we know the bad news, right? The bad news is that the world is full of sin. That's the bad news. The psalmist said, "I can see nothing but violence and strife in the city. It is full of wickedness and evil. It is full of sin," said the psalmist, Psalm 55, verses 9 and 10. It was maybe 3,000 years ago that the psalmist spoke those words. Not much has changed in 3,000 years. Our Lord calls Satan the prince of this world. He does that three times in the Gospel of John, chapters 12, 14, and 16. So people can deny sin or ignore it or ignore the work of the devil or deny the devil, but to do so is a sign that we're spiritually asleep, or really, to put it less gently, that we're spiritually unconscious if we deny those things. We have to wake up about reality. Since Mary is full of grace, that means she's also void of all sin and selfishness. The devil never had a foothold on her, and he never has a chance against her. Our consolation is found in the words of St. Paul, where he says, "Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more," Romans 5:20. And our hope is found in the one human person who was totally immune from sin. Plus, our hope is in the fact that she's our mother and our queen alongside of the King, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ, who's a divine person, by the way, not a human person. Let's not fall into the error that says that to exalt Mary is to eclipse or ignore Jesus Christ. That's false. Jesus himself once said to Saint Gertrude the Great, he said, "Every tribute made to my mother I regard as having been made to me. Every tribute given to her I count as being given to me." So if you honor and praise the mother, you honor and praise the son at the same time. Every good son knows that. It's not rocket science. Mary is full of grace, and our response to sin needs to mirror as best as we can the response of our heavenly queen. The more sin becomes a stranger to us, the more we will become familiar with God and familiar to God. And the more we become familiar with God, the more the prince of this world loses his grasp on this world. So lastly, the answer to sin is sanctity, it's holiness. It's not social programs or committees or more transparency or more or less taxation or more whatever. No, the answer to sin is sanctity. Mary gives us the answer to sin at Christmas time. She gives us her only son who takes away the sins of the world. And he does so first by preserving his mother from all stain of sin. So let's ask the Immaculate, the full of grace, to help us more and more become like her and more become like her son in this wonderful grace-filled season. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Amen.